Thank you, Kelly, for sharing the ministry there. Afterwards, you can go in the back. We have a little table in the back that you can ask them about more information. And as well, later on, we'll have a video about missions trips that are planned to the Dominican Republic and also to Latvia this summer. You can be a part of that. This Sunday, right now, today, right at this moment, our church is beginning a one-month series on stewardship. So if you're here for the first time and you say, there we go again. They're asking for money. No, we don't do that. The last time I preached a message on giving was 3.5 years ago. Okay, I remember exactly where it is. I have it all chronicled. So that's not something we do because that's not what the church is about. But nevertheless, it is a part of the Christian faith, the Christian life, the relationship that we have with God. The video kind of very poignant. You get the message there. Today, I want to just briefly share three thoughts with you. When it comes to stewardship, Bob and I, we have come down with, personally, three principles. And not these three, but in the next month or so, I'll go through some of this and others with you as well. Our three principles are very simple. You know, I don't have a lot of complicated understanding of things. It's too much, you know, to think about this. But simply is this. This has guided our lives. First of all, we believe in tithing. We'll talk about that a little bit. Giving 10% back to God, what he has given to us. No matter what, regardless of how much we have and where we are, that happens. Second, we don't get into debt. And we'll talk about that next week. Because being in debt is a bondage that God does not want us to be part of. So that's my second principle. Third one is look for ways to be generous, to give. To give to people of need, with needs, to give to ministries that God has, beyond even our church. And that has guided us, these three principles. And as a result, we believe that our lives have been following the stewardship pattern that the Bible taught us, and we enjoy it, and it's not an issue for us. Today, I want to share with you three thoughts from these three passages. Usually, I go with one passage, but I want to go with three this time. You know, the Bible talks about the grace of God and the gospel message. That is the most important thing. It's about a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. These guys that you saw on the video talked about how Jesus changed their lives. Those of you that know Jesus Christ, most of you here, you know what that means. God changes our lives. I mean, drastically, not to make it a little better, not change a little bit, it just... He transforms us. It makes all the difference in the world. But the Bible, the second topic that it talks about, if you can check it out, you can Google, you can do whatever. The number one is the gospel. The second one is about money, how we handle money. You say, what is that all about? You know, is that all that religion is about? No, it's not. But God understands, and he knows us because he made us. He knows that that is the biggest trap in our lives. And we can get wrapped up in it, stuck in it, imprisoned by it, in bondage to it. And so he addresses it. And for those who know Jesus Christ, you and I have the power to overcome this trap. We have the power to overcome because the Spirit of God comes into our lives if we follow certain principles. The first one that I want to share with you today is that God makes a declaration. In Matthew, that passage here, he declares that wherever your treasures are, or if one treasure, wherever that is, that's where your heart is. It's a declaration. He makes that statement. He says, how does he know that? Of course he knows that. God is God. Where are your treasures? You know, you can come to church. You can talk about how good a Christian you are. You can do all those kind of things. But you know what? Ultimately, we have to find out where your treasures are. If you discover where your treasures are, you know exactly where your heart is. And the treasures, you know, they can be things, they can be money, they can be your portfolios, they can be all those things, they can be houses, they can even be your children. Wherever it is, I think one of the things that we can figure out real simply is when you go to bed, what you think about, when you wake up, what are you thinking about, when you turn on the news, where are you going, what channels are you going with, you know? I know, especially nowadays, especially the last month or so, and I wanted to let you know, and I told people that I do not have stocks. I do not own any of that kind of stuff. The reason why is not because it's wrong. I don't think it is. I just don't want to be wrapped up with it. My concentration, I want to concentrate on something else, but I keep track of it because I want to know what's happening with you. I want to know what's happening with this world. And I know the last month has been pretty scary, isn't it? Your portfolio has taken a dive. I know that. 2,500 points down from the stock market. That hurts a lot. A lot of you retirements, 501ks, and so forth. Is that what you're thinking about? Is that what you're thinking about? Have you gone up? The first thing you flip on is CNBC. You know, you go to your apps and you just look at all the little symbols that's in your phone. Is that what you're doing? Well, rest assured, you know where your treasure is. Then you know where your heart is. In fact, in this passage in Matthew, it goes a little bit later, and it says you can't serve two masters. And it's interesting that the Lord says you can't serve God and money. Interesting that he chose that. Later on, we have a series in Sunday school with Andy Stanley. He does a great job in it. He pointed this out very succinctly. He said, Jesus doesn't say you can't worship God and Satan. You would think it's God and Satan. But no, he uses money because he knows for us, our human frailties, what that God could be. It's usually stuff that we have. So God makes a declaration, right? Where your treasures are, wherever, whatever it is, that's where your heart's going to be. So you want to examine yourself a little bit, maybe today. Say, God, where are my treasures? Where is it? What is it? How is it? What are the things that I consider precious to me? Second thing that he says, it's a command. He commands. He makes a command. And it's not just in this verse now. It's throughout the Old Testament. The Bible talks about it. And the command is tithing. Now, notice about God, he doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. He owns everything. And if you don't understand that God owns everything, you're going to have to really come before the Lord and think about it and pray about it, because he owns everything. Everything he's given to you is from him, and he always owns it. And you see this PowerPoint that I have, and you see these two hands, you know? I think this is symbolic, and I envision this when I go before God, when it deals with anything dealing with finances, resources. I always envision putting my hand out like this. This is the attitude that I always want to have. And the hand like this is like this. If God gives it to me, he puts it in my hand. If he wants us to take it from me, he can take it anytime. I don't hold on to it. I don't cling on to it. He makes a command, though. He says, I want you to tithe. It's interesting that he doesn't give one of these formulas that comes out to 1.3855. You don't give that amount. It doesn't do that. One-tenth is easy. Everybody can understand one-tenth. You can be the worst math student. One-tenth is easy. You got 10 apples, one of them. 10 donuts, one of them. You know, it's really simple. He makes it simple because it's not about money. Because God doesn't need our money. That's crazy to think that he needs anything from us. He made this universe. He has everything. It's not about that. But he is commanding us to do something that will represent our belief that he owns everything, that we trust him for everything by giving him one-tenth of it back. Now, I've been a Christian for 46 years now almost. And I want to tell you, I've never seen a person who tithes, never heard of one, that is in need. Now, I'm not a believer that, you know, you give a dollar to God, he gives you a thousand back. There are pastors that preach that kind of nonsense. That's ridiculous. It's not about that. But you know what? 90% have always gone further than 100% in my life, in the people I know. Always. Why? Because it is blessed. Your life is blessed when you follow after God. Now, it's not just the 10%. Someone said, I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to live life like, you know, a heathen all over. No, it's not about that. It is trusting in God and saying, God is God. He is my Lord and my Savior, and I can entrust anything and everything to him. This is what he said. He states it, and that has not been rescinded. You know, I know some people say, well, you know what? New Testament doesn't teach tithing. Well, you know, New Testament also doesn't teach beating up your brother, you know, killing people, on and on. This is assumed. This is something that they lived. The Jewish folks knew and understood what it was to live a certain kind of life. You follow after God, these things you do, and one of the things is that you make sure you honor the Lord with your tithe, because it is holy unto God. Now I want to make a statement about what tithing is. Some of you say, what was tithing? 10%? I give 10% to my brother, you know, I give my mother money. No. You understand what tithing is in the Old Testament. People would take their 10%. I have 10 sheep, I'll take one. They take it to the temple and they give it. This is my tithe. Unencumbered, you do not dictate where it goes. There's another opportunity. You can go and give to the poor. This is for poor people. This is above my tithe. Tithe is always, always what you would call to the general fund of the temple. It is releasing of it. I do not dictate where it goes. I cannot give it to my friends and my family. I cannot even give it to our missions category. That is above the tithe. You have to entrust it to the Lord. You have to just release it. And so I have people calling me sometimes once in a while. They say, you know, can I send my tithe to your church? I said, no. Unless they're not going to a church yet at that point. I said, give it to your local church that God has brought you to. If you want to send above the 10% to our missions fund and something like that, you're welcome to. We'd love to have it. No problem with that. So you got to understand what a tithe is. Now, here's where you determine whether you follow God's command or not. This is a command. So he makes the declaration right there. Where your heart is, it's going to be where your treasures are. And where do you want to be? Is it in God? Is it before the Almighty God? Is it before the throne of God? And then he gives a command, and the command is to tithe. This is the first thing we're going to talk about this week. Next week, we'll talk about another item. You tithe to the Lord. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. Now, he doesn't force you. He doesn't arm twist you. He doesn't strike you down. But he does respond, and that's the third thing we talk about. In Malachi, we use that a lot. And he talks about, if you don't tithe, you're like robbing him. I'm like, what are you talking about, God? When have we robbed you, the people said. And he talked about, you have not tithed. And then he said this, he responded, he made this statement of response that, test me in this. See if I do not open the floodgates of heaven's blessing. That does not mean simply finances. It's about all kinds of things. You know, Barbara and I, when we were dating, before we even got married, we were engaged. And we got together, we decided we're going to tithe. Now, we didn't have a lot of money, so it's easy to say when you don't have a lot of money, you're going to tithe. But it was still a lot. It was $70. I remember it was a check for $70, you know? $70 in 1979, that's a lot of money. Especially when you barely can pay your bills, and we paid our bills all the time. $70, I remember that. We took that check, we tithed. And we have tithed ever since. When we went to our first church and we were paid $300 a month salary, we tithed $30. In fact, our church was one of those churches that printed your tithing and put it as an insert in the bulletin. So they all knew I made $30. I mean $300 because I put in 30. When they raised me to 500, we put $50 in tithing. And we've done that. It didn't matter what it was, when it was, however it was, we always tithe. And I want to tell you something. God has met our needs all the time. I want to tell you, we weren't rich. We never were. But we always had. One time I remember, since we started the church that we were in New York before we came to Houston, and started with about 12, 15 teenagers. And teenagers, let me tell you, they're flat broke all the time. So I would drive them around, take them to an ice cream store, and I'll pay for it, you know, that kind of thing. And so they didn't give much offering. So I remember one day, the treasurer, who is barely a teenager himself, because it's such a small church and young people, he said to me, Pastor Dan, we don't have any more money. I said, okay, we can't pay you anymore. I said, okay. So they didn't. So for 10 months, they didn't pay me a nickel. They had no money to pay. They barely paid the electric bill, you know. And during that time, the Lord taught us a lot about trusting him. We continued to tithe whatever we had, whatever income we had. But on that first month, we didn't get a paycheck. My dad came over and never told me anything. Never told me he had meat. And he just left something on my counter. He says, "It's for you." I said, "Dad, you don't have to do that. You know, I'm not a person that..." We don't tell him our needs. He just put it there. He did that for the next 10 months. He just come over and put something there. And he paid all our bills, whenever it was, whatever bill was. And then after 10 months, the church began to pay us again. And suddenly, my father stopped giving it to me. I'm like, "What's the story of that? You know, I got so used to it, you know?" You see, our God took care of us. It wasn't my father. God bless him. He's a great, wonderful father for me. But it wasn't him. It was the Spirit of God. See, God will take care of you. When you honor him, when you follow his commands, he's going to take care of you. And oftentimes, you know, he would just bless us in so many ways. And it allowed us, in his response to our obedience to his pattern for stewardship, it allowed us to do a lot of other things. We never had a debt. I remember this one time, and I might have shared with you before. It was just something I just love, you know. We're saving up for a car, and it's just crazy. You know, it took us a long time. We saved up I think it was $300. That's it. We saved up $300, and that took months to save for us. And we're thinking we're going to buy a car with it, you know, a $300 car. New York City cars, they can be $300. But anyway. And I still remember this one time, one of the principles that I'll talk about later on, the Lord wanted us to give it away. This is how it worked out. Missionary went to Thailand, was going to Thailand. They needed a sewing machine. And so we're praying for them to have a sewing machine. In prayer, you know, the Lord said, "You give that sewing machine to them." I said, "Lord, knock, knock. You're talking to the wrong person. This is a poor pastor here." He said, "No, you got money. You got $300 in the bank." "So what?" "That's a car money, you know?" And the long short of it is, the Lord wanted us to give that. And we took that money out. We went to Sears, bought a sewing machine, and gave it to them. We're so excited for them. You know, they used that thing for 20-something years in Thailand. Just so excited. So we were able to give away the surplus that God gave to us. And a week later, I had a 2-year-old car sitting in my driveway. My sister decided, she's a doctor, a very wealthy doctor in New York. She said, "Hey, listen, I'm getting a new car. Do you want mine?" I said, "Let me think about it." "Yeah." And so she gave us a car. Let me tell you, God responds to his people, trusting him. It's not about money, guys. It's not. It's about trusting the God of the universe who created you and me, who loved us so much that he gave us the most, his son, Jesus Christ. Died on the cross of Calvary for us. Do you think he wanted back by you giving some money to him? Crazy. I know some churches, we do it wrong, you know? We come across like we're begging people for money. That's just wrong. But you know what? It is a place where God allows us to obey him and love him. And the responses he gives back to us is unbelievable. We had opportunities to give away so much money, mostly to missions, mostly to Ukraine, mostly to orphanages, yes, in our lives. But we never made a whole lot. Sometimes I don't even understand how. I do not ever have a mistake on my checkbook. It's to the penny. I'm very good at it. I don't bounce checks or anything. I just can't figure it. I don't know how we could send that kind of money out. I don't know. Somehow God just overcompensate, whatever. These pennies just multiply, you know, these dollars just grow. I have no idea. But I know that God allowed us the blessing, not of having a lot, the blessing of giving a lot. And to see people whose lives have changed because God allowed us to do something for them. See, when you deal with stewardship, you need to know what that means. The word stewardship means taking care of something. God has given you and I resources. And in America, we have more than others, generally. But they're not yours. They're not mine. They're still God's. And God demands, requires But he allows us to choose to use those things in the right way, to be good stewards of them, to use a little bit of money to multiply the kingdom of God, to change the lives of people. These young people that you saw in that video, and you can see a lot more, there's a lot of YouTube with Josiah Venture. These are lives that will change because men and women like Kelly and Donna made a choice with their resources, made a choice with not just money, but their time and energy, their lives. And they made a difference. And I want to tell you something about treasures, where they are. The treasures that we have that are in heaven, they're all treasures with faces on it, with lives and names in the book of life. Now, many of you, most of you, probably made a difference that way. But let's do more. Let's trust God. Let's trust God to do more with what he has entrusted to us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for entrusting to us resources. Lord God, would you move in our hearts to bless you, to prove it to you that we trust you in the area of tithing, in the area of giving, in the area of just rejoicing that we can bless you in such a way. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.